Make it a summer they'll love with amazing electrical deals online now at littlewoods.com, including the Lenovo IdeaPad 100S laptop for an incredible $149. And you can spread the cost interest-free with inclusive standard delivery and free returns. That's the Littlewoods touch. Don't miss out. Offer ends 25th of August. Shop now at littlewoods.com. Credit subject to status by Shop Direct Finance Company Limited. Over 18s. Authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. Goods and services provided by Shop Direct Home Shopping Limited.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to 20 Yard End Zone. I'm Russ Cullen. We've got Paolo and Footloose. How are you guys doing?
Morning, Russ.
It's just a great day.
It's always a great day. All right.
No, it's a really great day.
So let's get into the show. We're going to talk quickly about a potentially great CFL import. Freddie Bishop had a couple sacks the other day for the New York Jets. I talk about the New York Jets. They're my favorite team, so if you don't like it, too bad. But he looks like he's playing really well. He's a kind of like a John Abraham type where he can come off the linebacker and position and get some sacks. Footloose, what do you think? You think he can make the team?
Well, you know what? The guy he's going to be compared to is Cameron Wake.
Right.
I mean, Cameron Wake sort of set a precedent. And this is, especially for the American listeners, one of the big differences between Canadian and American football is because the systems are a little bit different, when you have that speedy rush end from around the corner, that's a specialized position in the NFL, but it's a very bread-and-butter position in the CFL, and we have these quick pass rushers. Cameron Wake just happened to be the one guy that made it big in the NFL, but there are a lot of guys up here that are fast and quick and get off the ball quick and really contain from the outside and get in pressure from the inside.
Okay, well, we'll see if he makes it. Paolo, you have any thoughts? Or?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, just that kind of following what Jeff was saying, yeah, to what Footloose was saying, it's, smaller guys in the CFL can kind of get away, they can get away with being fast, not having the size. And then the big test is, you know, going to the NFL and seeing if you can make it work or not. Unfortunately, most guys don't, because size really does matter more in the NFL. But it is nice to hear he's doing well. That's always good news. And CFL fans are always super supportive of their guys, you know, getting a chance down south.
Amazing too when you look at, you know, here's yet another star from the Calgary Stampeders going to the NFL. Yet the Calgary Stampeders remain so good. I mean, they just keep refilling their roster with more great prospects.
Yeah.
Hey, they know how to do it. There's no doubt. All right, Footloose, so why don't you give us the answer to the trivia question last week? Nobody took part in it, but that's okay. We'll just keep doing them, and at some point people will.
Okay, the question was, the question was what member of the 1976 Grey Cup champion Ottawa Rough Riders was a first-round draft pick of the Montreal Expos? And the answer is, we don't have a drum roll drop or anything, right?
Nope. You're
okay,
have to
the answer is Condridge Holloway. The answer is Condridge Holloway, and I'll give you some really cool facts about Condridge Holloway, because this is really neat. Condridge Holloway was drafted at a high school from Huntsville, Alabama, and he was drafted in 1971. He was picked fourth overall, so he was picked ahead of Mike Schmidt. He was picked ahead of Jim Rice. He was picked ahead of Frank Tanana, a ton of guys. And his mom would not let him sign a pro baseball contract. His mom happens to be, this is a really cool Condridge Holloway fact, his mom is the first African-American ever hired by NASA. She worked at the Marshall Space Center, and she insisted that Condridge go to college. So he took a scholarship at Tennessee. He became the first starting black quarterback in the SEC. He also was the first black baseball player at the University of Tennessee. He had a phenomenal career in both sports. and decided he was drafted by the Patriots. They wanted to make him a wide receiver because, again, it was a racial thing in the 70s. The black quarterbacks really didn't have an opportunity then. He wanted to be a black quarterback, so he turned down a lot of money to play pro baseball to come up to the CFL and became one of the greatest quarterbacks in CFL history. If anybody out there is a CFL fan or a Connerdge Holloway fan or wants to know more about it, ESPN did one of their films on him. It's called The Color Orange. Kenny Chesney actually narrated and produced it. And if you watch the Kenny Chesney video, The Boys of Fall, which I think is the best sports music video ever made by far, there are clips. It is. It's absolutely phenomenal. The Boys of Fall, you watch it and you'll just get goosebumps. And you might start crying. I did, first time.
I'm not going to cry. Come on.
Yeah, there's no crying in baseball, but in football, there's definitely crying. Yeah, but it's just such an amazing video. And anyway, there are clips of Connerdge Holloway playing at Tennessee in it. So he came up here and had a phenomenal CFL career. But again, there's always a story behind the story. And Connerdge Holloway, who's now an assistant athletic director at Tennessee, has just really made an impact and helped open the door for a lot of other athletes. So congratulations to him for a
good
career.
Story. That's a good story. Let's move on. One of the things we want to talk about, Footloose, we'll start with you. So Saskatoon was fined for pre-practice roster. What the hell does that mean?
Well, Saskatchewan was given a fine because Russ is the American on the crew. We'll just reiterate that. You got to think about Saskatchewan. Eh? You just got to take your digs at them every week. We'll have to road trip there. We'll have to do a road trip, the three of us, to Saskatchewan.
Yes.
There.
Before I'm diagnosed with a terminal disease, we'll road trip there.
Basically, what happened is they were fined for having illegal players. You're only allowed to have so many players on the roster, so many players on your reserve list. They had players that were not on the reserve list because they were above the limit of players, and they had them on the field practicing. On our podcast, Dave Rowe, who's a Calgary Stampeders broadcaster, will go into detail about what the situation there was. But basically they got slapped for violating the rules on how many players you can have and having non-contract players practicing with contracted players.
Okay. And, Paolo, it looks like Bo Levi Mitchell tweeted about it. Is that within the rules, or is that something the league frowns on?
Yeah. Well, it sounds like Footloose's interview with Dave Rowe. They're definitely going to touch on this in a lot of detail. But there was a tweet from Bo Levi Mitchell that seemed to sort of lead to this entire storm of controversy around Saskatchewan and the pre-practice roster. You know, he alluded to the fact that, I think what happened was Saskatchewan announced that they had signed six different players, and Bo Levi Mitchell tweeted out something saying, you know, something to the effect that, I'm guessing they didn't need to fly those guys in, basically indicating that they were already in town. Hmm. They had already been practicing with the team or separately. And so that raised eyebrows for sure. And then it was, you know, 2-3 days later that the fine was levied, and that $60,000 fine ends up being the largest fine ever levied on a team in CFL history. So pretty noteworthy around the league. Not a huge amount of money, but certainly, you know, big news around the league. In addition to the fine, they actually were also hit with roughly a $26,000 penalty against the salary cap. So, again, not a huge amount of money on a $5 million cap, but definitely sending a message about, you know, making sure teams are doing things the right way.
I just got a tweet. Ocho Cinco is laughing at that fine. That used to be his lunch money. All right, so let's talk about another subject here, the Winnipeg resurgence. Jeff, did Timu Solani come out of retirement? Talk about this.
No, neither did Troy Westwood. I was at the game in Toronto to see Winnipeg, and and Toronto play, and you know, Toronto looked good in the first quarter, but Winnipeg, five picks, they really got to Logan Kilgore. They their secondary is unbelievable, and you know what? That's one of those games. Every now and then, you get a game where a star is born. And if you haven't seen the Winnipeg Blue Bombers play this week, look for number 23, Kevin Fogg. He's a defensive back and a kick returner. He's out of Liberty. He spent some time with the Dolphins and Steelers as a kick returner. And this guy is a star. He had a great game, made a great pick, had some great kick returns, and just was all over the field. The Winnipeg secondary put a beating on the Toronto receivers across the middle. And, you know, you've got to give Toronto credit. I mean, Kilgore's making a second start, replacing Ricky Ray, who's injured with a knee injury. And Kilgore tried to stretch the field vertically, and he took chances. And unfortunately, he was throwing into double coverage. He was throwing into some defense where some of the secondary made exceptional plays, but okay. You know, he's not going to take the safe 3-yard pass underneath like he did in his first start against Ottawa. He tried to stretch the field. Matt Nichols, the quarterback, he's 3-0 as a starter now. Is he a better quarterback than Drew Willey? Was that the turning point? I don't think so. Maybe Nichols plays better within the system of Paul LaPolice, but I think that the real resurgence and the reason the Bombers have really turned things around is that their secondary has just been unbelievable.
All right, Paolo, let's ask you about the Ticats' chances in the East and the return of Zach Collaros, if I'm pronouncing that right. I'm probably not, but that's okay.
No, that was excellent, Russ. Good job. Proud of you.
Thanks.
Very proud of you.
Thank you.
Collaros, his story, his return was the big story going into the weekend, certainly in Hamilton. Saint Zachary is actually the name I've given Zach Collaros in the short term. I mean,
have you
Hamilton
hashtag that? Because if you don't hashtag it doesn't count.
Yeah, actually that's good. I should have thought about that. Good. I'll write that down. Hashtag.
Okay.
Hamilton fans are relying real, you know, heavy on Collaros coming back strong. You know, I think I saw a photo of Zach Collaros's head on a photo of Jesus Christ. That was kind of a funny one. You know, he's a great player, and you know, he's proven to be he looks like he's the best quarterback in the league at times. Unfortunately, he hasn't been able to play a full season yet. So, you know, pretty heavy pressure on the guy to come back now from basically tearing up his entire knee. I believe it was ACL and MCL injuries he was coming back from. And they faced off in BC over the weekend. And, you know, he didn't have a great first half, seemed to get better as the game went along, and certainly made it a game. And geez, that BC Hamilton game, Footloose, ended up being one of the most entertaining probably of the entire season so far. I was watching with my dad, and you know, he normally watches his Red Blacks games, and boy oh boy was he excited about that BC Lions offense. That was impressive.
Well, Manny Arsenault.
Well, I gotta tell you
Manny Arsenault, who's a former New York Jet, Russ. Sorry, go ahead.
Before you jump in, though, I want to get your guys' opinion after what you're going to say. I was told on another show yesterday that the Red Blacks is the worst name in the history of pro sports. Go ahead, continue, and then comment after.
Who filled that survey out? All the Utah Jazz fans at the Jazz nightclub?
Utah Jazz came in second. No, Utah Jazz came in second, just so you know.
Wow, maybe.
Yeah.
What were we talking about?
Manny Arsenault was the story of that game. Well, you know what? There were two – an amazing game, but Manny Arsenault, Russ, I mean, he's a former Jet.
Yeah.
So you know, you got to like him. He's made Jonathan Jennings look really good this year. Jonathan Jennings is probably the most underrated quarterback in the league. The one play that really if the Canadian Football League wants to have an infomercial, Brandon Banks – runs back a missed field goal, 100 and I think it was 115 yards or something. Remember, we got the longer field, and puts the Tiger Cats back in that game. And that's the great thing. When you have a long end zone and you have the goalposts on the goal line, the missed field goal is one of the most exciting plays in the CFL. I remember a game when Chris McAllister, when he played for the Ravens, ran back a missed field goal late in the game for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a play you don't see enough in the NFL. Brandon Banks played his college ball at Kansas State. He played for the Redskins for 3 years as a kick returner, and he's arguably one of the most exciting players ever to play in the CFL, especially on a kick return, and you get him open field. So all of a sudden, instead of icing the game with a field goal, Hamilton's right back in it and ties the game. And it takes another Manny Arsenault performance to ice the win, and he was just phenomenal. But that was a really, really great game, and
yeah.
You know, BC and Calgary this week is the game of the week by far.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was 126
oh,
yards. Yeah, sorry, Russ. I think it was exactly 126 yards that missed field goal return. So.
Wow.
That's what, 130-yard field that we have maxed out?
I don't even think I could run 126 yards. At
well,
least in a row.
You know what,
not in a
thing.
Row, I couldn't.
If I were on the team and the kicker missed the field goal and I saw that guy running it back, I would expect the kicker to make that tackle. But, you know, kickers aren't athletes. We know that.
Kickers are people, too. Come on now. Kickers are people, too.
They are people. I didn't say they weren't people. And I just said they weren't athletes. All right. So here's a provocative
question.
Blood
pressure on my Fitbit right now. My pulse is up to about 206.
Provocative question of the week. We see all kinds of nonsensical sports in the Olympics. Why not football? We've never seen football. Why not put it in there as a summer sport? Jeff, what do you think?
Well, you know what? This is something not on the radar in the United States, but they're actually they do play a U19 World Championship there is an international football system in place where Canada, the U.S., Mexico, some of the European teams, Japan, they have football teams and they come over and they play, and Canada and U.S. kind of dominate that. Canada, I mean, when you put together one team of U19s, I mean, Canada can compete with the U.S. in that level.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's a little bit different than basketball, because basketball, I mean, everyone just assumes the U.S. would walk all over everybody when the dream team came in, but it's not really the case. Football's a little bit different because your best athletes in the United States play football, and, you know, up here your best athletes play hockey, and then, you know, after that you have football, basketball, baseball that they're kind of divided in, or soccer now, probably more athletes playing soccer than anything up here. And then in Europe, again, football is kind of a fringe sport where maybe some ex-rugby players play. If there was a dream team playing in the Olympics, though, I mean, just the debate of who the quarterback would be for the for the American team would be great. For the Canadians, I don't know who the quarterback would be. Probably Brandon Bridges or somebody, or maybe Brad Sinopoli would switch positions. But
I think there could be some fun there. I do. And Paolo, I mean, it's got to be better than watching four guys huddled over a table tennis, you know, set.
Well, you don't like the ping pong, Russ?
When you have four guys, all right, picture this. There's four guys playing ping pong, and they don't know where to stand. The one team had a righty and a lefty, which is a horrible idea, because then the ball up the middle, nobody knows who to get. And they're literally running into the stands to make hits. And I just thought about it, and I said, there's not enough room at this table. And then they had a coach. Why do you need a coach for ping pong?
It's like Forrest Gump, was he the coach?
Yeah, I guess there are a lot bigger decisions than we can see. You know, on the football question, my only comment is, you know, these guys need a minimum of, what, 4 or 5 days recovery time. I think just the mm-hmm. logistics of the sport and the amount of recovery needed for teams, let alone the fact that, yeah, it is, you know, football is pretty much a fringe sport everywhere other than North America, probably just wouldn't fit into a – you know, what's the Olympics, basically 2 weeks or 17 days from start to finish. There's not enough time to make it work, but, you know, no doubt about it. I'd much rather be watching some international football than synchronized diving or ping pong or, you know, they got a lot of sports. They got a lot of sports.
Looking forward to in Rio that I didn't get to watch was the sewageathlon, where the athletes ride their bikes and get mugged and shot at and then sludge their way through raw sewage in their quest for a gold medal.
You get a Purple Heart for that. You don't really get a gold medal. All right, so
you get to roll around in Purell and rub yourself off with sandpaper.
Oh, man.
But, Luce, we're going to continue with the CFL talk and ask what is wrong with the Alouettes. What's going on there?
You know, that's a good question. And if I were
I know. That's why I asked it.
Okay.
Wow, you're good. He's good. He's really good.
You know what I think it comes right down to is that you win and lose in the CFL based on your veteran players and based on the strength of your Canadian players. And I think that the Alouettes are just in a cycle now where their Canadian talent is not at par with some of the other teams, and they've had some instability at quarterback when Kevin Glenn got injured and came back. They've got some great players. They're not a team that's going to get blown out. I mean, even the Edmonton game, they got outplayed, and it wasn't until the last minute or so of the game that Edmonton pulled away from them last week. Duron Carter is an exceptionally exciting player. He can really stretch the field. Cunningham had a great week for them. I mean, they've got some weapons, but they just have a hard time putting the ball in the end zone. And we'll see. They're not far away, but they just need a couple of components.
Yeah, one of the big stories out of Montreal was their head coach and former GM, and then head coach again, and then GM again, and then head coach again, Jim Popp. Apparently, he called out some of his players specifically in a players only meeting or a team only meeting, and by the sounds of things, a bunch of players really didn't take it the right way or didn't use it as ammunition. Obviously, given the fact that they lost and didn't look real good this past week, but obviously it was behind closed doors, but. Pop allegedly, called out specific players and told them, I'll replace you with cheaper talent. And I don't know if there's even a rumor out there, not that I want to spread rumors, but there was a report from TSN or from RDS that he, mentioned that, hey, if I cut you, you'll go back home and become a thug or a gangster or something like that. Suffice to say, the players were not impressed and were quite upset about some of the things that were said. And there's some turmoil there. There's no doubt. They're a team in transition. They've been good for a long time. Since they were the Baltimore Stallions, pretty much, right? Footloose.
They've been trying. And you know what, Jim Popp. I love Jim Popp. He's one of the greatest. He's one of the men of the people in the 21st century in the Canadian Football League, and he's been an absolute vortex of how to do things right over the last 20 years. And you know what I mean? No team is going to be perfect every year, and Montreal went through such a big run. And one thing we did, just talking about Montreal, we mentioned BJ Cunningham having a big week, but the other thing that they made a big replacement, Boris Beattie, who I thought was the best kicker in the league, really struggled this year, and they replaced him with former Texas Longhorn Anthony Farrah, who kicked 4 field goals last week. So, here's a guy that's not afraid to pull the trigger and make changes on his team.
Well, let me ask you guys this. This is a hot-button topic that popped up a couple days ago on Twitter. We'll go with Footloose first. Apparently, the CFL started PED testing this year. What's your thoughts on that?
I was surprised to hear that they weren't testing as much as perhaps some people thought they could have been, that's a thing that's for the protection of the players. I mean you see so many guys that have had I'm 50 now or plus 50 now, and there's a lot of guys that I played with that are no longer with us because they had heart problems, because they've had just physical implosions and mental breakdowns, and a lot of the guys that I played with that were saucing up aren't with us anymore. So, the long-term implications of PEDs are things that we still don't know about. I mean, everybody's kind of moved away from that to concussions. And the effects of concussions, but PEDs are still prevalent, and it's not a matter of what am I not allowed to take. It's a matter of what am I allowed to get away with, and that's the way all athletes in all sports. That's just the way everybody's wired.
Makes sense. Now, Paolo, we know that you dabbled in Flintstones vitamins. What are your thoughts?
It's all about the purple. It's all about the purple one.
The Betty vitamin. The Betty pill was way hotter than the Wilma pill.
Just to be clear on the PED thing, the league has actually been testing for years. That being said, there was some controversy with there was a disagreement, I guess, with the governing body, I guess, that was looking after their drug testing coming out of 2015 or excuse me, 2014. And with the new commissioner coming in, you know, they were looking for a new, basically a new program, a new substance abuse program. And basically the league went without a program for all of 2015 as they kind of tried to figure things out and find the right partner. For the start of this season, you know, they got that back in place and now actually have a stronger substance abuse policy and program than they ever did. They actually still don't test. You get tested, but guys who test positive for marijuana up here, as you may or may not know, Russ, they actually don't get their wrist slapped. So that's might be a bit of a
So it's a gray area. So they still need to sort of revise it.
Russ, it's important to know that there are no Russian players in the CFL this year, too. So it's not a concern. Ricky Williams listening and going, really? I'm back.
He had a great time up here. He had a great time up here.
Yeah, he did. He, you know, he was a great player.
Yeah,
great player when he was up here.
Yeah, well, you know, listen, the CFL is a great league, but all leagues, when it comes to testing, can learn something and get better. So I think that's really all we're talking about here. While we're coming into the home stretch, I wanted to mention that the shows could be heard on Blog Talk Radio. They could also be heard on SoundCloud. You could also hear them. You can go to Sportsology.com. We've redesigned the website. You can go and look at, we'll usually have a little bit of a recap, and there'll be a link in there. A lot of different places. If you wait like a day, you can get, there'll be, the interview will be on the end of the show. So depending if you want to wait or not, you know, we don't have a big production company here. So we're putting things together for you. So you could either listen to with the interview, without the interview, or not at all. But if you probably did listen.
We really have to do a live show from Regina. Go out to Saskatchewan, do a live show. And, I think that would be so much fun.
Absolutely.
We could practice with the team if Chris Jones is still the coach. We could.
Apparently they were feeding and housing these guys too. I mean, I did see that on Twitter. So that they want to feed me and house me, and the Regina Travel Bureau wants to pay us to get there, then yes, we definitely could do this. I mean, I won't even bring a toothbrush, I promise. I'll rough
what a guy.
Oh my goodness. You'll get tarred and feathered before you leave the province.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. I love everybody out there, and they know that. All right, Paolo, we've got about 60 seconds if you want to tell everybody about CSE games.
Sure, yeah. Not a whole lot new since last week, but just a reminder that you can always visit CSE Games on Twitter for the latest news. We are at CSE Games. We'll be running some promotions through the fall, a couple giveaways here and there. We're also the sponsor of our little contest here, of our skill testing question that'll come up shortly. Yeah, we'll put together a little prize pack for you. You know, give us your answer. Touch base with the 20 yard end zone on Twitter at 20 yard end zone. Give us the answer, and we'll ship you out a prize.
All right. So here's the trivia question. Name the two former Olympic sprinters and former world record holders who went on to play in the CFL. That is the question. Don't answer it now, guys. This is for next week.
Well, that's a good one.
That's good.
It's a very good
one. You guys follow instructions very well.
Very timely.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. I mean, I think people will enjoy that. Answer it. We don't even know what the prize will be, but we're going to give you a prize.
That's right.
I mean, that's really
courtesy of CSE Games.
And we appreciate that. And that's it. That's it for this week's 20-yard end zone. We'll come back next week. We'll prepare. We'll be ready for battle, and we'll be nicer to kickers. Take care, everybody.
Have a good one.
Holy mackerel! Now you can get super reliable unlimited broadband with no contract as part of the Now TV combo. To demonstrate how liberating this feels, Now TV have said I can do whatever I want for the rest of the ad. So I brought my piccolo. Search Now TV combo. That's TV, broadband, and smart box, all with no contract. Now you can.
They still made me read the legals, though. 18 plus Now TV network areas only. Renews until cancelled. See nowtv.com for terms.